Okay, Rabbi, today's daf in Masechet Gittin brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh is daf Ayin Tet, and we're holding at the Halakha Mishnah right at the top of the daf. And we're talking now about the Tchiyav of the Netinata Get, what is considered to be the Netinat to the woman. So we were talking about in her hand, in her chotzer, in her rishos, in what areas are considered to be hers, even if it's within the overall rishus of the Baal. And let's continue now and discuss another issue, which has to do with at what point do we consider the get to be within that rishus. Let's talk about a get that is falling into a rishus, and something happens to it on the way or something like that. So at what point is it considered to be a nitinat get? And over here, the Gemara is finally going to be spelling out to us the differences between elements of rishus that are defined as being within that rishus vis-a-vis Shabbat and the aspects of netinat haget, which involve other issues. Haytal medet al rosh hagag v'zorakola. So here the woman is standing on a roof. Now again, remember, when we say standing on, Rabbi Hoshaya explained earlier that we don't necessarily mean when we say she's in the house that she's in the house. We mean only that the house was mishtamer mikocha. Here too, according to Rabbi Hoshaya, as Tosfos points out, it would mean the same thing. It doesn't mean she's literally standing on the roof. But if you hold that you need the chotzer to actually be samuchla, so then it means exactly what it says. Once again, Rebbe has succeeded in giving us a Mishnah that bears interpretation in both directions. So the man is standing outside on the ground, and he throws the get to her. Once the get is over the airspace of the gag, at that moment she is considered to be migurashet. So if something happens to that get, let's say the wind comes along and blows it before it reaches the roof, blows it into a fire, and she never ends up getting the get, it wouldn't matter, because the get was received the moment that it comes over the airspace of the roof. Now, this has to be understood, because obviously, until now, we've been talking about the din of a chotzer bin kaina, and of course, a roof is the same as a chotzer bin kaina, technically speaking, is only if it's mishtameret. Well, over here, I mean, she can't really control that get from being blown away as it's over the roof. And so, in which case, it wouldn't be considered to be actually hers and received until it actually lands, right? I mean, who's to guarantee that it ever will land? That the Gemara will discuss. Let's take the other case. Suppose the man who's holding the get and he's on the roof and she's down on the ground and he throws that get to her. Another fascinating idea. The moment that it goes outside of the area that's directly above the roof, if it was, let's say, caught in a storm of water that erases it, or it's caught in flames, whatever, she would still be Megureshet, because we're talking about, apparently, that the chotzer off of the gag is shayach to her, has been lent to her. All of that will be explained in the Gemara. Ask the Gemara first obvious question. Why in the world would it be considered to be in a chotzer ha-mishtameret, if it isn't mishtameret? So we're saying over here, if she never gets it, and it ends up being blown away or whatever, right? It doesn't matter. We said in the Mishnah, the moment it comes over the airspace of the gag, it's hers. But that's not true. Because for the din of Kabbalah to get, we need, remember, at least the element of control that is called mishtameret midata. But it isn't mishtameret. What's to prevent it? What's to make it actually within the gag? It's just above the gag and has never actually been destined to land on the gag if the wind can come along and just blow things away. So halamintar, omrev yoram shmuel. Well, we're talking about a gag that has a ma'akeh around it. So it's got a railing around the roof. So then that means that the moment that the get comes between the railing, at that point, it is mishtamer. Ula bar Menashe, Mishmei De'Avimi Yomar. We don't have to say that. What we could be talking about is that the Mishnah is saying once it arrives within three tefachim, of the gag, then it's considered to have been received. The kol pachot mishlosha somuch legag kegag dummy. Remember that we have this concept of lavud, and lavud, that's halakha l'mashe misinai, that shear of lavud, so that anything that's within three tfachim is considered to be basically on the surface of what it is that it's next to. And therefore, maybe we don't mean literally when it's in the airspace of the gag, no matter how high it is. And therefore, we don't need for it to be protected in the air, because once it's within three tefachim, the eagle has landed. Humilamala, what about in the other case? Humilamala, and he throws it over the edge of the roof, and now it is falling to her, and something happens to it on the way down. So it doesn't matter. She's Megoresh. We have the same problem over here. I mean, he throws it over the edge of the roof. And now what? Now any wind could come along, blow it away. Why is that considered to be a chatzer hamishtameret? Halominta. Omer Reb Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Obviously, what we're talking about over here is a chatzer with a mechitzot atachtonot odfot al ha'elyonot. So what happens over here is that we have one of those kind of chatzeres, which, by the way, is fairly common in enclosed commons, right? We have big buildings all around. And then that would mean that the chatzer itself would have the mechitzes of, whether it's literal mechitzes or it's the size, the edge of buildings that are built in adjacent properties that essentially surround the entire older building, which is only 26 stories tall, you know, which is like a pygmy somewhere here in the big city. And all around this roof, basically, the mechitzot go above the roof so that the roof itself is surrounded by these massive mechitzot. In which case, the moment that, even though now remember, you're throwing the get up to get out of the roof, and it's going above the railing that's around the roof, right? So that's why we say over here that the mechitzot are even higher than the roof, because what the Mishnah says is that the moment that it escapes the airspace of the roof, and now it's over the airspace of the chatzer, it's considered to be a get. Well, then it would mean that there needs to be something around that whole area, including the roof itself, so that even though he's throwing it up and out, the moment that it gets into the space above the chatzer, it is protected by the buildings around it from being blown away. So it is considered to be minta. That would be one case. V'chein omer Reb Elazar omer Reb Hoshaya, kegon shehayu mechitzot ha'tachtonot odfot al ha'elyonot. V'chein omer Ula omer Reb Yochanan, kegon shehayu mechitzot ha'tachtonot odfot al ha'elyonot. Now, this brings us, seems to be a general consensus that we could understand that to be the case, but this brings us to an interesting issue, because when it comes to the dinim of Shabbat, this does not seem to be a consensus at all. Because let's take a look at this case. Are you trying to tell me, Omar le Reb Abba le'ula, are you trying to tell me that you're talking only Aliba Rebbe's din? Rebbe is the one who said in Shabbat that if somebody takes a ball, throws it on Shabbos from one Rishus HaRabim to another Rishus HaRabim over a Rishus HaYachid, and it never lands in the Rishus HaYachid. So Rebbe says that that is considered to be having done a Hotza'ah on Shabbos twice. You went from Rishus HaYachid to the Rishus HaRabim, from Rishus HaRabim to the Rishus HaYachid, and then from the Rishus HaYachid to the Rishus HaRabim. Now, it never stopped. But Rebbe Shita apparently is. Now, I know those of you who remember Rebbe Shita from Shabbos will remember that the Gemara came out that we're talking about, that it went through an actual house. It went in one window and out the other window, which is what usually happens to kids playing baseball. Now you could sue them for two windows. But anyway, the point is, according to Rebbe, that that's where it was talking about. Kluta kemi shuuncha. The fact that it's within the area means that it's as if it is at rest in that area. But here the Gemara is taking the simple understanding of Rebbe before we end up defining it in that way. But we do have other shitas that hold that it would be chayev, even in that case. So let's just ignore that aspect again, because when we're not learning that sugya, the Gemara's general approach is keep it easy, simple for dummies. When you get into that sugya, you worry about the details. But the idea is clear that you seem to be taking for granted a concept that is not taken for granted in the equivalent cases in Masechet Shabbat. And you'd be saying this only according to Rabbi, who holds that even though something is moving, it is moving, it's only in the air. And yet Rebbe says, well, it doesn't matter. It went through a Rishus HaYochid. So it's as if it was in the Rishus HaYochid. And you're saying the same thing. It's in the air over the Mechitz, over the Chatzar. And you're saying it's as if it's landed in the Chatzar. So that's not true according to everybody. So why would you be saying it only like Rebbe? Omar Leisa Ula said to him, no, it's actually irrelevant to our case. Because Afila Tema Rabbanan, it would be even those who argue with Rebbe, it's irrelevant to this din, because Adkan lo pligi Rabbanan alei de Rebbe ela le'inyan Shabbat. The issue over there, remember, when it comes to Shabbat, the idea over there is this new concept that the Torah gave us of Hotza'ah. Hotza'ah is a very complex issue of the relationship of an item to the space in which it is located. That is such a complex issue that, remember, we still don't know very much about that relationship. Here it is 20 centuries later. This is one of the big issues in which, remember, that Shabbos is the construction of space. That was the main issue of Maaseh Bereishis. That's the reason that Hotzah is the main topic of the entire Masechet Shabbat. 99% of Shabbat and Erevin is about space. And therefore, the issue of Shabbat is a completely different issue. We do not need to define, when it comes to giving a get, the technicalities of time-space orientation and gravitational waves or whatever. It's really irrelevant. All we're interested in when it comes to the get is, did you give her the get? Is it in a place that is mishtamer or not? The technicalities of the specific interrelationship of the spatial coordinates, who cares about that? Why are you confusing the two sukkahs? And remember, we've already seen that this profound interrelationship is also very different when it comes to the din of kinyanim. Remember, we talked about that. When it comes to acquisitions, we're not going to define the rishus of a person vis-a-vis acquisitions in the same way that we're going to define the nature of giving a get, because we're not dealing with acquiring a get. We're dealing with handing over a get. So therefore, it's all very nice to start putting all of these things together, because they all have to do with where an object is vis-a-vis another object. But let's not pretend that they all have to follow the same criteria. And therefore, says Ula, you're just confusing the issue. It has nothing to do with Shabbos. So Adkan lo pligi Rabbanan alei de Rebbe, where do we find this argument between Rebbe and the Rabbanan? Only vis-a-vis Shabbat. Here it has nothing to do with space. It has to do with inturi. It has to do with control of an area. And here, Hakaminta, we've already explained. It is, in fact, surrounded by mechitzas. It's not going to be blown away. It's perfectly valid to give the answer that was given three times before, and here too, people that overheard what Rabbi Yochanan said were pretty shocked, because Rabbi Zeret said to Rabbi Asi, wow, is Rabbi Yochanan telling us that it's going like Rebbe, who holds Kluta Kamishu und Chadamia? And he explained exactly the same way. No. Afilo Temer Rabbonan, Adkan lo pligi Rabbonan alei de Rebbe linyan Shabbat, Hachamichu minture, Vahachaminta. So we've had this conversation that has gone on in different areas, Eretz Yisrael, Bavel, different people, different generations, and across the years and across the place, we've come to understand that there are different criterion for different situations. Now, we said that even if the get was caught in a massive downpour and was erased, so that by the time it reaches the ground, there's nothing left written on the get, it doesn't make any difference because it was already within the airspace of the chatzar, and we said the chatzar was mishtameret, or vice versa, right? Anyway, says Rav Nachman Omer Rav Abuah, now let's understand that there's a different issue that we need to consider, okay? What we're interested in is not simply the physics of the fact that it will ultimately be resting in the chatzar. What we're interested in is that it is headed towards the chatzar, not that it's destined to the chatzar. There's a big difference, because in order to get this get over the edge of the roof, assuming that it does have a fence around the roof, as we said, you must throw it upwards. Now, it's all very nice to start analyzing the Newtonian gravitational things here, that you've got the mixture of the direction in which you're throwing it, and then you've got ultimately its acceleration downwards, which is going to, in the end, make it go down. And that's not the point in terms of the gross issue. Where is this get headed currently? Assuming that the inertia would carry it, we don't have to worry about the fact that there are other forces acting on it. Right now, where is it headed? So if it's headed upwards, because it still hasn't been accelerated sufficiently to start going down, then if it was erased, it is not given to the woman yet, because it's still headed away from the woman. The sense of netina is not defined by physics. And therefore, since over here, it's headed upwards, if it were erased before it even starts heading down, then it's not considered to be a gerish. And lo shonu lo shenimchak derech yirida, avon nimchak derech aliyah, lo. Why? Because we can never say that it is currently on its way to hanacha, even though the physics of it is obviously mathematically defined. But as far as the gross relationship of the get to the chatzar is concerned, it's lola min hachoy. It never began heading down while it was a get. It was erased at that point. How about if it was burned, nisraf? Omer Rav Nachman, Omer Rabba Bar Avuah, here too, the get needed to be over the chatzar before the fire breaks out and burns it up. So it's only shekodam get lidleka. But suppose the area where the get was going to fall was consumed by flames. So then that means that it was never headed to the chatzar at all. It was headed to the flames. And therefore, it would not be considered a get, my taima, mikorlis sreifa kozo. It was not on its way to being a get in a chatzar. It was on its way to being carbonized ash in the chatzar. Amr of Chista. Another issue. Now, this is not directly related to what we're talking about. What's the matter, Rich? What's the matter? Why so negative? What happened to that old Richie smile? So the question over here is related to our Mishnah only peripherally, because we're going to bring a raya from our Mishnah to this question. But we've actually spoken about this before, where we spoke about the idea of a man giving his wife reshus in his chatzar, and then the get ends up landing on this big block. Remember, so the question over there was, does the person, when he gave the wife an area in the chatzar, did he mean to give her two areas, also this block, even though it's reshus b'fnei atzma, or was he only lending her what he was lending her? So in the same general idea, Rav Chista points out that when it comes to a reshus that was given as a right to utilize for reception of a get, it's only the specific reshus that you were granted. And reshuyot chalukot begitim, given reshus to one area does not automatically give you a right to another area in that same individual's reshus. So if the husband gave a reshus A, he doesn't give reshus B. So comes along and seems to pick the din out of the hat. So I'm like Rami Bar Chama to Rava. How did Rav Chista know this? I mean, like, where did he derive it from? Minale l'sabaha. On my last, Rava said, my gosh, it's the Mishnah in Gittin right here on Daf Ayin Tet. Because take a look what it says over here. It says, Haita omedet al rosh hagag, she's standing on the roof, and he throws the get to her. Kiman sheyigea get la'avir hagag, arezu megureshet. Now, I ask you to define to me who owns what, okay? B'maya askinan. Well, we're talking about she owns the gag and she owns the chotzer. Well, I mean, if she owns both areas, then why would the get have to get to the avir hagag? I mean, the whole area is hers, including the chotzer. So are we talking about where he owns the gag and he owns the chotzer? What good will it do to get to the avir hagag? It's not given to her. It's still under his rishos. Elipshita. So we have no choice but to say that we're talking about her gag and his chotzer. Okay? Now, if that's what you believe, please continue reading the Mishnah and tell me how to understand the next case. The next case says, Ema Seifa, Hu milamala vehi milamata. What if it's the other way around? What if he's on the roof and she is down on the chotzer? He throws it off the roof, given sheyatzer b'shut hagag. If it gets over the edge of the roof, it's already a good get. And even if it was erased or burned, she's Megureshet. Now, how do you explain this case? If we're talking about what you claimed, that she owns the roof and he owns the chotzer, why would it be a good get if the get is landing in his rishos? That's landing in her rishos. So what are you going to say? It's talking about his roof and her chotzer. I mean, does this make sense? We start a Mishnah talking about her roof and his chotzer. And then without any indication that we've done so, we switch the Rishuyas, and we start talking about a Sefer in which the roof is his and the chutzah is hers. I don't think that's very reasonable. I would suggest, therefore, that this is Rav Chisda's Diyak. The Mishnah is clearly talking about where we're not interested in who owns the property. We're interested in where she was given a right to get the get in the property. He owns the whole thing, right? So in the first case, where she's standing on the gag, he obviously gave her permission to receive her get on the gag. And in the second case we're talking about, where he gave her permission to receive her get, and since she's in the chotzer, she receives the get in the chotzer, which proves that you only get one rishus, because the moment it goes into the other rishus, it's considered to be the other person's. So if it's over the edge of the gag into the chotzer and she was allowed to receive her get, it means that the gag was not hers, but the chotzer was hers. If it's the other direction, it means the gag was hers by rights of his lending it to her, but the chotzer was not. That's what I'm just showing you, that when you have rights, you have rights to one place. That's the issue. Shrei mikomot lo mushli inchi. I think, says Rava, that's where Rav Chisda got it from. Says Rami Bar Chama, this you call a raya? That is pretty lousy raya. I mean, obviously, look, if the Mishnah is changing the orientation of he and she, so then why can't it be taken for granted that the reader is smart enough to understand that he and she's rishus also has changed? I understand why that's a raya. Why can't we say that Diomel Halkadita Valkadita, where each case stands on its own? I mean, surely a reader is intelligent enough to figure out that the Reisha is talking about the Gagdi Dava Chatzur Didei, and the Sefer is talking about a Gagdi Dava Chatzur Dida. I don't believe it. Oh, my Rav. Now points out Rav. This is the first time that we have a summary of those issues that are fundamentally different. Even though they seem to be talking about the same issue, they're fundamentally different in the case of Gittin and in the other place where they're brought up, such as in Shabbos and so on, right? So there's three cases like this where we can need to make certain that we do not confuse the din of Gittin with other din. And one of them we just discussed. Shalosh midot b'gittin. We've got three cases where you need to distinguish Gittin from everything. First of all, this Rebbe's din that we just spoke about, Kluta Kamisha Unchadamia, Plige Rabbonin Alei, we just had four separate discussions on that issue, and it was clear that Hani Mili Le'inyan Shabbat, Avlakam Shemiture Va'amint. So that's item number one. Don't confuse the Sugya of Kluta with the Sugya of the actuality of something being in a space on Shabbos. Next case that should not be confused. The next case is Hadi Amar Rav Chisda. So here we have our very classic case in Shabbos. And the classic case that we're referring to, Trevor, I think you want to, unless you have some very important comments to break in over here, mute yourself and then you can sing. I know you like to do a lot of shower singing, but not in the middle of the daf. We certainly appreciate your voice, and it's lovely to hear. No problem. All right. So now in this case, we're talking about a basketball court on Shabbos. So here's the deal. The basket is much higher than the walls of the court. So you've got a court that's, let's say, 10 feet high walls. And now you've got a basketball basket on a pole that is 20 feet high, let's say. Boy, these are serious players, let me tell you. Anyway, so what's the din? The halacha is legabe Shabbos, but no'atz kanaber shut yachid. If you put a pole in the middle of a court, and on the top you put a basket, barosho traskal, somebody throws a ball, and it lands right in the basket. V'zorak v'nach agabav. I don't give a hang if it's 100 feet high. Afilo govoa mea ama chayat. If he threw that ball from Rosh HaSarabim and it lands on top of a pole, well, a pole is not considered to be Rosh HaSayachid because it doesn't have the proper measurements. I mean, it's got to be 4x4, and it's not 4x4, it's just a pole. Doesn't matter. Because the din of Rosh HaSayachid is that the area of Rosh HaSayachid extends upwards. No matter how far above the Rosh HaSayachid, it's all considered to be the mechitzas of the Rosh HaSayachid. So therefore, if it lands in that basket, you just transferred something from Rosh HaSarabim into Rosh HaSayachid. You'd be chayav. L'fisha Rosh HaSayachid ole ad rakia, it goes up indefinitely into space. But that's only in terms of the din of Shabbos. If you threw a basketball on which was inscribed a get, and it landed in that basket, then, what an interesting way. I mean, you think people today have these glorious ways of saying, honey, I love you, will you marry me? Just imagine sending a get written on a basketball.
He was putting her through the hoops.
Very, very good. Oh, gosh. What can you do when you've got a genius amongst you, unrecognized by the public as a whole? We should start actually making a series of YouTubes of these Barneaisms, no? I think we do very well.
But here's a great maisa. Shoshi got Kirk Douglas to donate the garden, the playground, the basketball court in the Jewish quarter. So what do you give a man who has everything? They gave him a soccer ball autographed by all the children of the neighborhood.
Brilliant. Okay. So what would be the din over there? Well, when it comes to throwing a basketball get, it would not be a good get. You know why? Because the fact that it is, again, theoretically, in terms of spatial definitions, for Shabbos, it's in the Rosh HaSayachid, that's not called giving it to a woman because of the gravitational waves. That's, sorry, she said, I never got that basketball. It's sitting up there. How am I going to get that basketball? So in that case, it's not minta. As we've said before, for a chotzer to be able to be makabel again, it has to be mishtameret ledata v'holo minta. And this is certainly not. That's case number two. Case number three, where you cannot confuse the issue, would be the case of Rabbi Yudah Amar Shmuel. And that was, lo yamod adam begagze v'yiklot megishamim migago shel chaver. Here you've got a rainstorm. Now, rain is gushing out on the neighbor's roof. Now, well, you are living in an apartment building or in row houses in which there's no clear-cut distinction between the roof that's yours because it's right over your bedroom and the roof that's your neighbor because it's right over their living room. You don't see that when you're standing on the roof. Now, if it's raining onto your neighbor's roof, where all the rain is on an incline and it's coming from that roof, then, says Shmuel, you cannot stand in the area of your own roof, collect the water on Shabbos from the next guy's roof, because in the same way that beneath the roof, we are describing different spaces for different people. Remember, this is the Drabanan concept of extending space also into the idea of whose space. As far as the Torah is concerned, that is completely irrelevant. But as far as humans are concerned, that's very relevant. This is my space, not your space. So when it comes to Shabbos, we only have the universal description. But, says Shmuel, in the same way that the Rabbanan define the separate spaces, and they are mechayev you to have an Eruv, if you want to carry from your house into the next guy's house, even though it's all Rishus HaYochid, technically speaking, that distinction extends up to the roof as well. Now, you should know that that's only true in terms of carrying for Shabbos. But if a get would land on the next person's roof, it wouldn't make any difference, because the issue of the get is only considered to be an area that's off limits to her because of the fact that people are generally mocked. But hey, what are you doing there in my chutzner? On a roof, it's a very normal thing for one neighbor to walk across the other neighbor's roof to get to their solar energy collector or their water tank or whatever it is. That's it. Nobody's mockbit on that. Don't you dare walk on my roof. And therefore, if that's the case, there's no kepeda. V'kulei hailo kapta yinshe. And therefore, for all intents and purposes, the area is lent to her to be able to be mekabel her get. Omer Abaye. Now let's talk about other issues of subsumed areas of space. Let's talk about two separate chatzerot, one inside of the other. So we have an interesting situation over here where a person has to walk through somebody else's yard in order to get to their enclosed yard. So the outside yard goes all the way around, and it has very tall mechitzot. And those mechitzot are so tall that they go beyond the mechitzot of the inner chatzer. He now throws the get from the zarkola, and he's going to be throwing it into the area in which it is now surrounded by the walls from the outside. The question is, if it's thrown to her, once it gets to the airspace of the outer one, so then she's migureshed as soon as it's in the airspace between the two outer, the four outer walls that protect it. Because the get is protected over here. The moment that he throws it over her inner rishus, it's still considered to be mintar, as we said before. As long as the wind can't get to it, and here the wind can't get to it because of the taller outer mechitzas, so it's as we said before when we were trying to explain our Mishnah. Harezu migureshet, once it goes over the area of her inner chatzer, you'll say, but what's protecting it? The outside walls that go all around and protecting it. So pnimit gufa b'mechitzot achitzona kaminatra. The inner yard is totally protected by the higher walls of the outside yard, so that even though it's going up and over, it's always in the area that is within the walls. But I know you know this already, says Abaye, but I'm trying to make a point. And that my point is this, that in the same case where we'd be talking about containers as opposed to chatzeros, and you probably make the mistake of thinking it's the same. Well, I got news for you. It's not the same. So let's imagine a case. We've got two containers. One container is inside the other container. The inner one, same case as over here. The inner container is hers. The outer container is his. And he throws a get to her inner container. I don't care if the outside container is much larger and does indeed protect the airspace of her inner container. Here, the din would be that afilu higia la'avir hapnimit, ena migureshet. she is not considered to be Megureshet, even at the point that would be the same as the Chotzer, where it is protected by the outside walls of the larger outside container. Why is that? Because basically a container is not Kona in its airspace. A container is Kona things that actually land in the container. Because what is it for? It's for holding things, right? That's the idea. That's why it's a container. And therefore, what are you going to say? It's holding it? It's not holding it. It's going to land in it, but it's currently not holding it. I mean, why would a container affect its airspace? Masha Enkein, a chotzer, the idea of a chotzer, is simply to have whatever is in it be protected by the walls around it. And that is considered to be, therefore, protected in its airspace, as long as it's within the walls. And the reason is, Tolonach, it never landed in the box. And to be in a box, you have to be in the box. Wait a second. So then even if it does land in the box, it doesn't matter. Because, I mean, basically over here, this box is in the other box. So if you're going to tell me that we have to take a look at the other Rishus, remember we had this big problem all along. Starting yesterday, we were talking about the Kalim of a buyer in the Rishus of a seller. And it was a big machlokas. We weren't ready to commit ourselves to what the din was over there because it was a big machlokas in Bav Metzia. So don't we have that problem here? Kelav shalokeach brishut amocher. It's his box. And now her box is in his box. So would we then necessarily say that Abaya wants to say that the halacha is, which is not at all clear, that halacha is that you can actually be kena something within somebody else's box if it's your box? No, not necessarily. I mean, what we may be talking about over here is a container that is resting on the bare ground. It doesn't have its own bottom. So if that's the case, it is not contained within the other person's box because neither box actually has a bottom. And it's kupasha ein la shulayim. We're only talking about the protection of the walls. And therefore, if the ground is hers, or maybe if it's a simta, or maybe even if it's rishus harabim, according to the shita that says that you have arbamis in rishus harabim or kalim in rishus harabim, but whatever the situation would be, the subsuming rishus is not his just because it's surrounded by wall. And therefore, in this case, you would actually be able to be. Now, that brings us to this exciting moment. Once again, our intrepid Capitan. Getting at last back to the problem of how long can you hold on to a get before delivering the get? We've been talking about how you make a shlichus to write a get, how you make a shlichus to give a get, what conditions you can provide to the writing of the get, when to write the get, when to deliver get. Fine, that's all wonderful. But suppose the get was written, was handed to you as the husband, and now you want to hold on to it. How long can you hold on to a get before delivering it? So remember, we had the problem that was called a get yashan. What is the issue of a get yashan? So we've got a problem of social gossiping. So what happens over here, a guy had a get written. He never delivers the get. And remember, one of the issues of a get is to protect a woman and her family from attacks by husbands and by others. Now, in this case, 3 years after the date that's on the get, he delivers the get to his wife. During the course of those 3 years, they've had two sets of twins and one set of triplets. Boy, these guys work fast. Now, people then discover the get, and sure enough, in the daily gossip column, it's quite clear that all of these bastards were born long after their mother was divorced. Now this starts a whole, God help us. Oh, we're not going to get a shidduch with that family. They have children out of wedlock. She was divorced. I mean, you could just imagine. So in order to avoid this type of nastiness, the Rabbanan made a takana that once you are alone with the woman that you wrote the get for, you got to write her a new get. Because if you're alone with her, we're worried that you got her pregnant. Again, what the meaning of alone is, remember we had the whole discussion. Does that mean that we saw you alone? Does it mean we actually saw you having relations with her? Okay, fine. That's not the issue right now. We want to know whether, in fact, is there such a takana or not. That's called get yashan. Beit Shammai says, I have no concerns about this type of gossip. Poter adam ishto beget yashan. You can hold on to a get for 20 years and deliver it 20 years later. And I'm not worried about this. Now, it's interesting that some point out, Histosis points out, that this is, of course, very consistent with Shammai, as we're going to see later. According to Shammai, you're not allowed to give a get unless you discovered that your woman is an adulteress or has basis to think she's an adulteress. And once that's true, according to Shammai, it would make sense that, well, what are we going to, if he really feels that way, that's probably messed up their relationship, wouldn't you think? So he's probably not going to be sleeping with her. So even if it takes all this time, I'm really concerned that he's going to get her pregnant with an adulteress, Masha Inkin. According to Beit Hillel, that the issues in a get are cups of coffee that have been improperly prepared, you might decide to actually sleep with this woman despite the fact that the coffee was cold. And therefore, according to him, we've got a problem with the chashash of a get yashan. Be that as it may, it doesn't really matter all that much. The point is that Beit Shammai is not concerned for this type of attack on the woman's family, Ubeit Hillel Osrim. What defines a get yashan? If he was alone with her after the get was written. And what are they arguing about? We're not worried about making a gezera that the get should be puzzled because of gossipers. People are going to say that, well, obviously the divorce came before she was pregnant. Beit Hillel Savri, Amrina Gezera Shema Yomru, Gita Kodem Livna. As Beit Shammai is worried about the effects that this might have on a family. So according to Beit Hillel, and obviously we always paskin like Beit Hillel, what would be the din if someone went ahead and used a get yashan? So, because it's interesting. I mean, consider, if we would be gozer that a get yashan would be puzzle, then we could end up causing even worse problems for that poor divorcee, right? Because then all we need is for somebody to come along and say, oh, that's the get? Oh, I know. Or the husband says, oh, what do you mean? I was with her after that get, you know? We made up. So that doesn't that make things worse for her? So if she ends up relying on a get like that, not knowing the dinim of get yashan, so then she's wide open to even more profound attack, because then her children really would be mamzerim, according to what he's claiming, right? She was really married to me, and she went ahead and took somebody else as a husband, et cetera, et cetera. So the question, therefore, is, what would be if you went ahead, gave a get yashan? Now it's in a state of bidiavad. Can that get be used? Or did we make a gezera that could end up boomeranging? So, Omer Rabbi Abba, Omer Shmuel, look, if she actually used this get yashan, and she went ahead and get married to another guy, she does not leave that guy, because it's going to make things worse, and then we would consider her to be an adulteress with the other guy, and then the children would be at least minarabbanan, would be considered mamzerim. That for sure we never said. There's some who said that we take it even further than that. This halacha of do not use a get yashan. Remember that until now, we have distinctions of the dinim of get. We have the concept of the get is batel. We have the concept of a get is pasul, but not batel. Now, the idea of a get pasul would mean that it is a get, certainly vis-a-vis a kohen, and therefore, it would be at least a reach haget, and she would be considered to be a divorcee vis-a-vis marrying another person. Her husband dies after that, and then she is considered nonetheless to be a divorcee lechumra. But what about a get that is a completely kosher get that you're not allowed to use? We didn't talk about that. That's what we've got over here. Do not use a get yashan. But what if you did? Then it's a kosher get completely. And she does not get divorced for the second guy. And in fact, Igadi Amri, there are some who say that what Rebaba Mishmuel said was not that she doesn't get divorced, but that this is only telling you what to do, l'chatchila. It's not telling you the status of the get at all. It's telling you when you have a right to use the get. But if you use the get illicitly, it's certainly a kosher get 100%. And it doesn't matter whether she already got married to another guy or not. You gave her the get, she's divorced. That's it. Whether she married another guy or not. So im nidgarsha, she's divorced like anybody else is divorced. She can get married to whomever she wishes. Tina say, even lechatchila, she would be allowed to marry.